This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today we begin with our first question from Brother Inam al-Haq, who says that he has a colleague at work who is a believing Christian. They're having a lot of discussions about Islam and the Quran, and he has questions that he has for me. One of them is that his Christian colleague is saying that the Quran does not understand Trinity. And that, according to him, A'udhu Billah, the Prophet ﷺ made a mistake in that the Quran says that Christians believe in three gods. And the Quran says that Jesus and Mary are a part of the Trinity. And his Christian colleague is saying that this is completely false. No Christian has ever said that there are three gods and that Jesus and Mary have never been considered to be a part of the Trinity. So our brother Inam al-Haq is asking, how do we understand these verses in the Quran?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Now, the primary verses that deal with Christian theology, there are three. So, pay heed to these, and inshallah we'll dissect them and explain them inshallah in a holistic manner. First is Surah An-Nisa, verse 171, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Believe in Allah and His messengers and do not say three. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَ. Notice three here is three, not the word used is ثَلَاثَ, which is three, one, two, three. And it's not the Arabic word for trinity, which is tathlith or other words that are used. So the point being that this word three is being understood to mean three actual entities. And then Allah says, إِنْتَهُ خَيْرُ لَكُمْ. Stop saying three, it is better for you. Surah Nisa, verse 171. The second, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 73. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Those who say that Allah is the third of a three have committed kufr. Excuse me. Those who say that Allah is the third of a three, ثالث ثلاثة. So there are three entities and Allah is one of them, the third of them. The third here doesn't necessarily mean in chronological order. It simply means one of the three is Allah. Once again, what is being affirmed are three entities and that Allah is one of those three. So Allah is saying anybody who says that Allah is three or a part of a three or one third of a three, that anybody who says this has committed kufr. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. There's only one God. And lastly, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 116, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَٰهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Isa will be asked on the Day of Judgment by Allah that, did you tell the people, O Jesus, did you tell people to take you and your mother as gods instead of Allah? So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Isa ibn Maryam that, did you tell people to take you and your mother as gods, ilahaini, two gods, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Isa will say, glory be to you, I could never say anything other than what you commanded me to say. And the verses go on. Now, these are not the only three, but these are the primary three verses in the Quran that deal with Christian theology. Now, of course, mainstream Christian doctrine, which has been fairly consistent since the Nicene Creed of the 3rd, 4th century, is that there is one God, but that one God exists in three co-eternal, consubstantial persons. Consubstantial. And the technical term is hypostases, that these three are distinct and yet they are one in substance and one in nature. So the three hypostases are one. And so the doctrine of Christianity is that there are no three gods, rather that there are three distinct yet one in substance and one in nature. Now obviously there's a lot of internal discussion what this means, but the point that this Christian colleague is telling his Muslim colleague is that no Christian sect has ever said that there are three gods. And no Christian sect ever made Mary a part of the Trinity. So he is saying, according to this, and this is of course a very common theory by polemics by those that are criticizing Islam, by Christians who try to find fault with Islam, that what they end up doing is that they always say, the author of the Quran, and by this they mean obviously the Prophet ﷺ, the author of the Quran didn't know Christian theology, they say, and so the Quranic language is incorrect. Because nobody actually says this. Now, number of points to be said here, and obviously this is a very convoluted topic. We can spend many, many hours talking about Christian theology, talking about these verses of the Quran and how they've been understood by over 50, 60, Mufassirun throughout the eras. Obviously, this is a short answer to a much longer topic. However, the claim that the Quran is unaware that Christians believe in monotheism is simply false. The Quran is very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 46, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do not argue with the people of the book except in the manner that is best. And then the verses go on. And then Allah says, and say to them, وَإِلَاهُنَا وَإِلَاهُكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Your ilah and our ilah is one and the same. You believe in one God, we believe in one God, and it is the same God, and we have submitted unto Him. So the Quran is very clear that Christians believe in one God. This is explicit in the Quran. So then how do we understand these other verses that seem to imply that Christians believe in three gods? And this is the term for this is tritheism. Tritheism is the belief in three gods. Now it is true to say that some of our mufassirun did seem to understand this from the Quran. If you look at, for example, Muqatil ibn Sulaiman and others, they do understand from these verses, the understanding that they get is that Christians believe in three separate and distinct gods. And of course, as we said, this is not and has never been the belief of mainstream Christianity. If you look at the majority of Mufassirun, the scholars of Tafsir, they really kind of gloss over this point. They don't really dive into deep Christology or the beliefs of Christianities. They don't, of Christians, and of course we excuse them for this because obviously, I mean, even most Christians are unaware of the development of Christian doctrine and the wordings of the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed uses the term homoousis. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing the Greek term here. I have not studied Greek professionally, but homoousis is the term in the Nicene Creed. And what it means is that God has the same essence. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they have the same essence. Homo is the same, oosis is the essence here. So the unique in essence, despite the fact that they are three. Now, as I said, the majority of Mufassirun don't really dissect these verses. They just give a generic tafsir and then, they move on. However, some of them, clearly the ones that are more well-read in Christianity than others, some of them do point out that some more unpacking needs to be done. Of them is, for example, Fakhruddin al-Razi, definitely one of the more well-read of our scholars. He read many other traditions and many other books as well, many other philosophies. Fakhruddin al-Razi, he actually notes, he makes a point when he talks about these verses, that no Christian group ever claimed that Jesus and Mary were gods besides Allah. He actually writes this in his tafsir, and he says, how do we answer this? And he proposes his answer. Other scholars attempted other explanations. Of them, again, so the scholars that actually dive deep into this are those that are more well-read in Christianity. And again, I've said this a million times, all of our scholars are humans. All of our scholars, they have their mashallah strengths, but they also, they're not all knowledgeable. And especially in Christian theology, one would expect the majority of our mufassirun have never really, studied in depth what Christians say. Those that did study were those that interacted with other civilizations and especially those that lived in Andalus. And that is why, for example, Ibn Hazm has a position. For example, Ibn Hazm said that this must be one of the non-existent Christian groups. And he actually mentions one, he calls it the Barbaraniya group. And he said that this was a group that believed that Jesus and his mother were two gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They actually believed, according to him. And he says this sect is now extinct. So the Quran, he is saying, is referencing sects and schisms that no longer exist anymore. And this notion was taken up by a number of authors, including Suyuti and his teacher in their Tafsir al-Jalalain. They also mention this point as well. The problem with this is that, firstly, we are not sure if there was any such sect. There's really no confirmed evidence that such a sect existed. And secondly, even if it did, for sure, it was a very fringe, very small sect. It wasn't mainstream even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Why would the Quran reference something that was never, common amongst Christians? So, and also the main point, we are not even certain whether there ever was such a sect as well. Imam al-Qurtubi as well, and again, Qurtubi from Cordova. Qurtubi interacting with Christians. Again, we expect him to be more knowledgeable of Christianity than many of the other scholars of tafsir. And Imam al-Qurtubi also problematizes, you know, this notion of Christian theology vis-a-vis these verses. How does one reconcile Christian theology with these verses? And Imam al-Qurtubi claims that even though he says this is not what Christians believe, so he says, look, what the verse is saying outwardly is not the technical, belief of the Christians, but then he says, but it is the lazimu madhabihim. It is the corollary or the beliefs that the Christians hold, what they necessitate. Okay, so Imam al-Qurtubi points out that even if the terms that the Quran is using is not the technical terminology, it is what Christian theology necessitates. Okay, so that's what is called the lazimu al-madhab, or the corollaries, that, like, basically when you say something, what do you necessarily imply by it? So the Quranic terminology is not what the Christians say, it is what is the logical follow-up, it is the inevitable conclusions of what they say. Now, obviously, as I explained, from the polemical Christian side, from the Orientalists, and then those that are trying to criticize Islam, they claim that essentially the Quran is misinformed, or the author of the Quran is misinformed or uninformed about Trinity. And this was a common motif. Even Montgomery Watt, the famous Orientalist, probably the most famous Orientalist of the last generation, he also claimed this, that it is very clear that, quote-unquote, the author of the Quran was unaware of Christian theology. Now, how then do we explain all of this? I have two explanations, and both of them are valid. There's no either or here. Both of them are valid. The first thing that we need to do is that we need to actually look up what did Arab Christians believe when the Quran came down. Because you see, most Western historians, when they talk about Christianity, they're talking about the Christianity of Rome or the Christianity of Constantinople. And they're not really looking at the Christianity of the Arabs. And the Arabs at the time of Islam, when the Quran came down, there were two primary Arab Christians. You had the Christians of Najran, and then you had the Ghassanids. These were the two primary Christians. As for the Ghassanids, there were a number of altercations between them and the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. Even the Battle of Tabuk was basically supposed to be against them. As for the Christians of Najran, they're the ones that came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they stayed in Medina and they interacted with him, and Allah revealed Quran regarding them. So these are the two primary Christians that Islam or the early Muslims interacted with, and the Quran is being revealed in that milieu, in that context. So what we need to do is actually understand the theology of Arab Christians, the Christian Arabs of the 5th and early 6th century. And the problem comes is that we hardly have any remnants of their teachings, of their beliefs, because the Arab civilization, by and large, did not leave us records. They didn't have books written at that time. It was a very different time and world and place, and it is difficult to reconstruct the theology of the detailed theology of the Arab Christians. Nonetheless, in my research that I've done, I looked up a number of things in this regard. First and foremost, there is a massive, very erudite encyclopedia or encyclopedic reference by Professor Irfan Shahid, who is actually an Arab Christian himself. Well, he's passed away, but of the last generation. And he taught at Georgetown for many, more than 2-3 decades. And he wrote, like, I think a 7-8 volume encyclopedia about Arab Christianity. And of course, he himself was a Christian Arab, so obviously has a personal interest as well. And if you look up this book in volume 6, he mentions some research that he's done. Again, it's sketchy. He did this 3 decades ago, I think in the 60s, 70s, I'm not sure exactly when, but he mentions in this book that the Ghassanids were influenced by the famous Christian theologian John Philoponus, who died 570, i.e. At the time the Prophet was born. Basically, there was a very, very famous Christian theologian, John Philoponus. He's well known to Christian scholars, and he is also well known to Arab, to scholars of Arabic intellectual history, because his works were translated into Arabic. And he's called Yahya al-Nahawi. Yahya al-Nahawi, John the Grammarian, John Philoponus. And John Philoponus, very interestingly, he had an impact on the Ghassanid Arabs. And he was considered to be a heretic by the mainstream Christianity of Constantinople. And part of his heresy was that he was accused by his contemporaries of tritheism. This is very interesting. He was accused, even though he didn't say those wordings, but his beliefs were almost bordering on three distinct gods. And so in his own lifetime and after his death, he was accused of being basically propagating tritheism. And we know, according to research done, that the Ghassanid Arabs had had been influenced by John Philoponus, and that they had absorbed this theology. If that is the case, which does appear to be the case, then in reality the Quranic language is very, very precise. And it is amazing that the Quran is using terminology that would not be mainstream in Constantinople per se, but it would be mainstream amongst the audience that is listening to the Quran. Now, this idea has been further researched a few years ago by another academic, Professor Block, in an article that he wrote for the Journal of Islamic Studies entitled Philoponian Monophysitism in South Arabia at the Advent of Islam with Implications for the English Translation of Thalatha in the Quran. This is an entire academic article. And by the way, subhanAllah, there's so much research being done by people outside of our faith. Now, a lot of that research is obviously, you know, sometimes very problematic and sometimes it's not. And the point is that there must be some people who are willing to go beyond, because this is knowledge that really, frankly, our own ulama did not and cannot have, because it deals with civilizations and languages that are not found. I mean, we cannot expect somebody to know, Philoponian monophysitism that's going on in Christian communities and other places in the world. So you have people that are outside of our faith tradition doing some really interesting research, and, you know, those that read that research and then take the good from it, because again, wisdom and knowledge is transcendent. Anyone's civilization, history, research. You don't have to be a Muslim to do research in science and engineering and history. It's just knowledge is there. And those that are willing and that are capable to, they should venture out and get the best of all worlds. And when they do that, obviously, they will be slightly different than... Anyway, that's besides the point here. But my point is that some research has been done. And if you read this journal article, he actually argues that the Christian Arabs of Najran, so we talked about the Ghassanids, now he is saying the Christian Arabs of Najran, another professor, Professor Block, he has done research about Southern Christianity, Southern Arabian Christianity, and he has concluded that it is very likely that the Christian Arabs of Najran were de facto tritheistic, i.e. they actually, their beliefs and their understanding was that there are three distinct gods, again being influenced by Philoponian, i.e. John Philoponus, Philoponian monophysitism. So this is again the technical term for his beliefs here. Now, this is particularly interesting because this basically means, because realize Surah An-Nisa and Surah Al-Ma'idah, they were revealed because of the Christians of Najran. They were revealed after the Christians of Najran visited Medina. And the Quran is then addressing them. And it is really impossible for us to imagine that an average person in Arabia would know the differences between Southern Arabian Christianity versus the Christianity of Rome versus the Christianity of Constantinople. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have been so precise that he is speaking to them in a language that they will understand. And he's refuting them directly, and then he's refuting other Christians indirectly. And therefore, we will will flip it around. This colleague of our brother's, brother Imad's colleague, he is saying that the author is misinformed. We say rather you are misinformed. And the Quran is being infinitely more precise than it would have been possible. And the Quran is challenging the beliefs that were in vogue amongst Arab Christians and using the terminology and a language that is rebuking them for what they believe. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala distinguished between their versions of Christianity versus others, it could not come from an average person living in Arabia. Now that is my first response. We can add to this response, and it is a very good answer as well. And I also like and agree with this one, and there's no contradiction. We can give both of these responses. And this this is a response that has been proposed by a number of researchers, and I myself am very much inclined towards it. And of the researchers as well that proposes this is a friend of mine from Yale, Joseph Cummings. We were together in the department, and he has a PhD about certain issues of this nature. And we had a lot of discussion about this while I was there, and he also has this type of notion. And in summary, what it argues is that the Quran is using the language of popular belief and not the language of abstract creeds. So in other words, the Quran is dealing with the lived experience of Christians. And the Quran is calling them out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebuking them for essentially deifying Mary and Jesus, even if they don't use the word God for Mary, right? Because again, the Quran says that you have taken Mary and Jesus as gods. And the Christian says, we never say Mary is a god. And the response is, we don't care what you say. Now remember, we're talking about the Christianity pre-Reformation. My audience here in America is more aware of Protestant Christianity. Protestant Christianity, one of the main things that they did was that Martin Luther, it is very clear that he was influenced by many factors, including the Quran. Martin Luther read the Quran. Martin Luther, his version of Christianity clearly is closer to our version of Tawheed than Catholic Christianity. And you have to realize before Martin Luther, obviously the world, the default was the Catholic version of Christianity. And in Catholic Christianity, Mary is invoked for one's needs. People invoke the Virgin Mary. And if you go to a Catholic church, you will find icons of Mary and Jesus and the Bay. And if you go to a Protestant church, you're not going to find that, right? Because again, the whole notion of the iconoclasmic battle between the two groups, which again, not our answer here. But my point is that Protestant Christianity, which is what most of my viewers are familiar with, is very different than the Christianity before. Christianity before Protestantism, the mainstream Catholic and Orthodox and whatnot, their version of Christianity really did take Jesus as, and Mary, as object, well, even Protestants do Jesus, but not Mary, as objects of worship. And Allah is speaking to Christians with regards to their lived reality and not with regards to the creeds that the advanced councils propagate. In other words, they might say that God is one, but in reality, in their minds, God is three. They might say that Mary is not God, but when they invoke her and they praise her and they ask her for her needs, they have made her into a god in that they believe she will respond to them directly. And so in their worship and in their psychological framework, Mary is a god, even if they don't use the term God. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using terminology that is very precise, not according to the sophisticated developed statements by the councils in Rome or the councils in Nicaea or the councils in Constantinople or the councils in other places. They had a number of, you know, like 12 different councils one by one, and each one is named after the place and the locality, and each of these councils propagated Christian theology. Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal is basically saying, I don't care about your councils. Your councils mean nothing. What is the lived religion? How do Christians actually live? What do they view the Trinity as? How do they deal with Jesus and with Mary? And so the Quranic terminology is in fact very precise because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with the the reality as it exists and not how it is propagated in fancy councils. And therefore, we say that the Quran is referencing the belief of the common Christians, and especially the belief of the Arab Christians, and asking them to correct their misunderstandings in accordance with their actual shubuhat, or their actual arguments. And as for your friend who's criticizing Islam, your friend is lost in abstract creeds. So we say to him that rather than trying to find fault with the Quran, he should realize that the Quran is doing a much better and a much more precise job of challenging Christian belief and refuting it. And we say to this friend of yours, and please show him this video clip, that if he is a true Christian, he should ponder over what the Quran is saying, and in fact even what the Bible has said and what Jesus himself has said, that neither is there a Trinity, nor did Jesus ever preach a Trinity, nor did Jesus ever preach his own divinity, nor did Jesus ever say to worship him or to worship Mary. And this is exactly what the Quran says, and this is exactly what the New Testament and Jesus himself said. So that is the response to our first question. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Ya man ajabta du'a Nuhin fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhuni ya man ahala an-nar hawla khalilihi rawhan wa rayhanan bi qawlika kun.